Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, you are tuned in to Black Geek Movie Talk. It is Friday, December 30, 2016, and I'm your host, Yolanda. I'm here with my co-host, Elise. Say hello, Elise.
Hello, hello, hello. Hello, hello.
And so today we are going to be doing what's become our annual year-end review, where we're going to be counting down what we thought was the best and worst in science fiction and fantasy movies for the year. So, Elise, I guess how we should get started, well, I'd like to get started, is by talking just like sort of in general about what you felt about the year, first of all. 2016, I mean, in general, do you feel like this was a, you know, a great year for science fiction fantasy films, or do you feel like it was not great but not awful, somewhere in between, or did you just feel like this was just, we can't get any lower, we can only go up from here? What did you feel about 2016?
Looking back on going through the shows and looking at the movies that we saw, I was like, what a load of doo-doo. And damn you to hell, 2016, along with everything else
that happened in
popular culture and politics.
Yes.
Damn you to hell and your doo-doo movies. That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
It just felt like a lot of, you know, just really just missed opportunities and just expectations crushed.
Okay, expectations crushed. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Because I was going to say, I didn't go into this year having any expectations. I didn't have high expectations for this year. So my expectation level, you know, was pretty low. I mean, And I don't know, I mean, I guess we could go back and we could look at other years and see, you know, how we felt like in preview shows. Did we feel good about it? But I thought, I remember us talking about, when we were talking about when we do our annual Looking Ahead show, I could have sworn I remember us both saying it was like slim pickings, you know, when we try to do our... What are we looking forward to? It lived up to that. It lived up to this was just not a good... This was one of the worst years in terms of, you know, things that I was looking forward to, like really looking forward to and excited by. There was virtually nothing that I was excited by. So if anything, I was looking for something to go above those expectations.
Surprise
the hell out of me. And that did not happen. Okay. Mm. So, let me rephrase that. There was one movie in particular that surprised the hell out of me. And that will be on my best of list. There was only one. So that being said, let's get right in this thing. Start with the best. All that whole intro into this year just not feeling good. Let's start with, you know, what we picked as the best of an otherwise not so great year. The best. So what we're going to do here is we each have five. We went through year in film. And these lists, let me just say, don't necessarily have to be shows that we reviewed, in the year. Maybe there was one or both of us saw that we didn't get to review for some reason, and it ends up on one or both of these, you know, on one of these lists, best or worst. So that being said, we're going to start with the best. I've got five. I've got five. And we're going to start with number five. So now number five, it's reverse countdown. So number five should be the not the strongest.
Right.
And we're working
our way
up. The least
of the best.
The least of the best. Exactly. Thank you, Ellie. So why don't we get started? What was your least of the best? Number five for you.
This was, okay, can I preface it by saying my best of list was very easy. It was like boom, 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 boom.
Okay.
It wasn't even that hard putting it in order.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep.
And I will say this, that my number five and my number four could have been interchanged. Honestly, it was really a tie for five.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, but I eventually went with Jeff Nichols' Midnight Special.
Aha.
And this came out February 21st. Great cast, Michael Shannon, Joel Edgerton, Adam Driver, understated, smart sci-fi, good emotional story, fantastic acting, shot beautifully, everything fantastic.
Yeah. Now, okay, so this is where things get confused. With release dates, because, you know, sometimes things are supposed to come out on a date and then they switch it up on us. So you said that Midnight Special, you said, was February
21? Oh, actually, April 21.
April 21. Okay, because I have a different date than that. I have March 18, but okay, whatever.
Oh, okay.
It came out in the spring.
Yeah.
It came out in the spring. Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. For me, I have a tie for my number five. I decided I'm not going to choose between the two. I'm both at five. Okay. And one of them was Midnight Special. And the other one was actually Arrival. Now, the reason I struggled with this, because I actually, someone was asking me the other day, you know, how was her Arrival? What'd you think of it?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, it was very well done. It was a well-done film, well thought out. I loved some of the cinematography, the soundtrack, and I liked the idea. It was very well executed.
Mm-hmm.
But the person who asked me could tell by the tone of my voice that I didn't sound very excited. Why are you not? And I was like, and I had to stop and think about, like, why wasn't I? And I don't know. And I was thinking about it even this morning before the show. It was a well done film, but it didn't excite my imagination. I'm not very passionate about it, but I'm putting it on this list because there's so few original, just like straight science fiction films.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that aren't based on a book. I don't think this was based on a book or anything like that.
No, it was. Arrival? Yeah.
It was based on a book. Oh, okay.
Yeah, a short story.
All right. It was a short story. We get so few of them. Street science fiction, you know? And it was well done. It was well done.
Yeah.
So I was like, I have to put it on the list. It's got to be mentioned. But because I wasn't excited and passionate about it, that's why it's five. And everything you said about Midnight Special, I mean, I could not put Midnight Special on here for all the reasons that you said. I mean, it's only failing, really, when I think about it, was the ending. That I wasn't too happy with. So that's why it's not higher up. But it has to be on here. I mean, Michael Shannon, there's everything that you said. So there you go. That's my tie for number five. So moving on, what was your number four?
Number four for me was Deadpool.
Oh.
Which came out early in the year, February 12th.
Yes.
And for me, I loved this movie.
Yeah. I'm wondering why it's so low. What the hell?
Okay.
What the hell else? Get there in this year.
I It was a perfect role for Ryan Reynolds.
Yes.
And of course, you know, he just got nominated for a Golden Globe for it. Yep. It was smart. It was funny. It was like the right kind of crude. It was just fun. Like so much fun. Just going to smile and laugh and just have a good time.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, R rated. So thank you for making movies for adults.
Uh huh. Okay. Well, yeah. We're going to have to circle back because I'm so curious. I have absolutely no idea. What the hell? I don't know let's just end the show here. But no, let's not end the show. I'm really, really curious to what the hell could be higher. There's a couple of other things, maybe. But okay, moving on. Yeah. My number four was actually 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
And the reason I put 10 Cloverfield Lane, because when I think back on it, I really, really enjoyed this film. And again, it wasn't until the ending that I actually had a problem with it.
It's disappointing, yeah.
Right, yeah. John Goodman. I can't say enough about him in this movie. Oh, my God. And this whole thing, for me, just read more like the way they kept the tension, and it just felt like a character. It felt like a play, almost, you know, where there wasn't a whole lot of effects until the very end. All of the tension, all of the fun, everything was driven by three people in a really tight space. And that's saying something for me. You know, the older I get, the more I go to these movies, the more it's like becoming really, really important for me to have well-drawn out and well-acted like characters in these things. And this, to me, just exemplified it. I mean, I can't say enough about John Goodman, and you know, the rest of the cast. I believed everybody's tension. I was frightened. I didn't know what the hell was happening, you know, for a very long time. And they kept me. They kept my attention. They kept me going. And so that's why this is my number four. Oh, and I'll say that I think this came out March 11th. Of this year. So this was also another early film. So what was your number three?
Number three for me was Marvel, Captain America: Civil War.
Okay.
Directed by Anthony and Joe Russo.
Yep.
But more importantly, written, because that's what really got me. Written by Christopher Marcus, Stephen McFeely, and a couple other people. So, Captain America: Civil War, I'm watching this, and I'm like, damn, this script is really good. they're balancing characters. There are a lot of characters.
They introduced
new characters.
Yes.
They built tension. It was...
Yes.
Like, you felt the gravity of the situation, but it was still fun.
Yes.
The action was bananas.
Yes.
This was a good, it was good. Like, was good. I remember coming out just like, damn. I actually wanted to sit down with the writers and be like, how did you craft and sculpt this? Can I see your notes?
Right.
Like, and especially... Yes. When viewed or compared to DC's kind of like little Civil War movie, really could appreciate like the layers of conflict that they built into the story, which made it, you know, real and authentic and just good. Mm-hmm. So that was my number three. That came out May 6th.
Yes, May 6th. Yeah, I absolutely. I'm on board with all of that. My number three was actually The Witch, which came out February. I can't read my writing. Was it 26 or 20? It was February.
Yeah.
February 26th, another early film. And yeah, this one was actually, we reviewed, it was part of our Halloween show. And it's on this list because, once again, horror, they're doing some really interesting things with horror. This film was beautiful. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how else to say it. Like, I really don't know how else to say how they, you know, just crafted. I felt like I was watching a lot of times, God, I don't even know how to say it, like a painting that created this, you know, foreboding and sense of, like, horror without a lot of, you know, gore and obvious, you know, jump scare things. The ending was chilling. I didn't see that coming. I couldn't have guessed that in 125,000 years. I mean, chilling. To just end it, like, I mean, just crazy. Do yourselves a favor. If you have not seen this film, you gotta. It's on Amazon. It's probably on Redbox. You know, it's available, is the point, to see this film. Do yourselves a favor and see this film. It had to be on my list. It had to. So my number three was The Witch. What was your number two?
Well, my number two was The Witch. And for all the reasons you said, you know, it was just, it was beautiful and lush looking. And the writer, director, Robert Eggers, spent, you know, several years on this, which is not, I guess, unusual, but it just, you can tell the attention, the detail, the authenticity, and the ending, the story, you're just like, oh, it was not typical, but it was satisfying, you know?
Yes.
And the cast,
the
amazing acting, Anya Taylor-Joy, played Thomason, and then her parents, English actors, Ralph Ineson and Kate Dickey, who are both, Kate Dickey is on Game of Thrones. But Ralph Ineson, he played a Death Eater in the Harry Potter films. But yeah, everything that you said, if you haven't seen it, it's on Amazon Prime. Go watch it.
Go watch it.
Right now.
Right now. Not right now. Wait until the show is over and then watch it. Okay. So we're up to number two. Okay, my number two was Captain America, Civil War.
Okay. All right. So we did a little switcheroo.
We did a switcheroo. All of the reasons that you said, Elise, and I had to make it high because, listen, not only was this film, everything that you said, I'm also rating this based on, to me, and I told a friend this the other day, the Captain America films in the Marvel warehouse, we're talking about Marvel warehouse, the films, they have been spectacular. Every single one. It is rare. It is super duper rare that you get a property and you make not just one, not just two, but three. I wish I could curse. Like I'm not going to. Like that, like a sailor. Three.
Yeah.
Bleeping. Excellent films. The level of films, everything that you talked about, the layering, the introducing of new characters, making it still, you know, like you said, you feel the conflict, you feel the gravity, but at the same time, there's lots and lots of humor. At the very same time, it's possible to have a film where there's weight and there's gravity, but it's also a good time. You don't feel like you're just trudging through blah, you know? And I watched this again just recently because it's on Netflix. I don't know how the hell Netflix got like a blockbuster like this so soon after the release, really. I watched it again because I wanted to appreciate, I wanted to remember all over again what made it so good. I mean, I cannot stress enough what an incredible job this film did, you know, and but introducing new characters that were strong. I mean, that Spider-Man, and I know I said this before when we originally reviewed this film. I am like old school. Okay, I'm old school. I am still of the Tobey Maguire vein, okay? And the first and second, I'm not talking about the third one, first and second Spider-Man films, back when Tobey Maguire was donning the suit, I was like, that's it. There is no more Spider-Man. I don't give me no Andrew Garfield. I don't want to hear it. You keep that. This kid was incredible. His interactions with Tony Stark in particular, and then that incredible fight scene, the huge fight scene, which was just stupendous. The way that they had the characters interact so that you understood what was at stake, but you still understood that these were people with a history with each other. The way that they did that. And mind you, this is an action sequence. So they also made choreography still exciting while all this other stuff is going on. So the layers of difficulty in this was just stupendous. And again, like you said, especially in comparison to other things, then you appreciate it even more. So I was like, this has got to be high up on my list, no doubt. And it only got beat out by one other thing, and I will explain why when we get to it. But that was my number two. Absolutely.
Okay.
Freaking Captain America all day long and all night long and into the weekend and into next year. Captain freaking America. Thank you. Now.
Okay.
What's your number two?
One. Right?
Oh, are we up to one? Did you already do two?
Yeah. The witch
is
my number
two. You were the witch. Yeah, we flipped it. We flipped it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So... what was your number one, the best of the best of 2016?
This was difficult. I have to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
But Arrival was my number one. And I'll say this. When I was thinking, okay, I got to think of all the elements. I'm thinking of, okay, it's sci-fi fantasy. The story was beautiful. It was emotional. It was compelling. It was straight sci-fi. The music was fantastic. Hadn't heard anything like it in any other sci-fi movie this year.
Mm-hmm.
The acting was incredible. I loved Forrest Whitaker, especially. He stood out to me. I know Amy Adams is nominated for a Golden Globe, but I love Forrest Whitaker.
Mm-hmm.
Shot beautifully. Bradford Young was the cinematographer. Looked gorgeous. And then the special effects I thought were beautiful. So I like sci-fi like Jeff Nichols, like Midnight Special, where it's you know, it's not, the special effects aren't over the top, but I do like a little bit of spectacle. So Arrival had all of that, along with the story. For me, that was the strongest story. You know, when I looked back on it, I was like, wow, you know, this was just a really interesting, beautiful story. I was not expecting the ending. And I think, the director Denis Villeneuve, I think that's how you say his name. I think he's Canadian, French Canadian. I think I've loved everything that he's done. So for me, Arrival was like all around the strongest of the year.
Okay. That's fair. Yeah. For me, my number one was based on, like I said when we started this was based on going into a year, not really expecting too much, you know, I wasn't really like super excited about anything. So this number one, I put it at number one specifically because this surprised the hell out of me. Completely, I had a complete 180 degree turn in terms of how I felt. I went in, I didn't even want to see this film.
I already know.
And I came out, and that's hard. That doesn't happen. Like, that doesn't happen a lot at all, where you go into something either not wanting to see it, and you're like, wow. Or You know, that doesn't happen. It just doesn't. So my number one was Deadpool. My number one was Deadpool. Came out February 12th. You already said, for everything that I just said, because I didn't even want to see this movie. I remember,
I know.
And I was like, I don't want to see this. Like, this is not my, this is just not my bread and butter. This, I just, yeah. I have no interest in this doo-doo. And wow. Just really well done. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with subsequent films. I'm actually a little bit nervous. I don't know if they're going to be able to, you know, continue that level of good. But boy,
yeah.
I had to give this number one just because of that never happens. How many times do you not only not look forward to something, but you're like,
right.
I don't want to, you're going to have to drag me into this thing and then come out like, and within the first 5 minutes, within the credits, you're just, I was already like, already, I was done. I was like, okay, so this had to be my number one. There really wasn't any questions for me in my mind, that this was number one. So there's our list. Let's move over to, unless you have anything else to say about the best of in general, do you have any honorable mentions or anything like that?
I thought about 10 Cloverfield, but it just didn't. Yeah, I was just too disappointed with the ending.
Okay, so moving over to the worst, and we're going to do a similar thing. We're counting 5 to 1. So 5 is bad, but number 1 is like your writing studio time. Okay, it's writing to the studio, and you're angry that you've wasted time and money, and you have this experience in your brain that you can't get out. You understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. So why? Okay, so my number 5, and I'm looking at my list again, because this was, let me say this before we go into this. This was actually harder. This was harder to put together because I felt like
everything.
There were so many things that were not good.
That could have been on here.
That could have been on here. But what it came down to was, well, a couple of things. And we'll get into them, I guess, when we start talking about these. But my number 5 was actually, and let me just make sure, because I got scribbles outs and stuff. I put regression for number 5.
Okay.
This came out early, February 5. And the reason I put it at number 5, because when we talk about expectations, so for me, if you go into something knowing that it's going to be crap and then it is crap, we don't really need to, like, who's surprised by this? You know, why even have to put it? I'm not going to put it on a list. I don't want to talk about it. We all knew going into this thing it was going to be good. So why put it on a list? No.
Right.
So I put regression as number 5 because I did have fairly high expectations for this based on a couple of things. It was a smaller film. It was Ethan Hawke, who we've talked about before.
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan I'm emphasizing his name because there have been so many things he's done recently, like these smaller, you know, horror and sci-fi films that have been so good.
Yeah.
And so I went into this like, oh, okay, I don't know what the hell's happening, but this is probably going to be pretty good. Even if it isn't like stupendous, like the best thing ever, it's probably going to be like pretty good. And then you also had Hermione.
Yeah.
No. And the two of them, I was like, okay, I'm all in for this. And we saw this, and it was not good.
It was not good.
So that's all I'm going to say. It wasn't good. And it made me sad that it wasn't good. So this is why it's number 5 on my list. What was your number five, please.
Well, I don't think this is going to be too popular, but if you don't like it, you can sign up for Block Talk and do your own damn podcast. my number five was Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yes.
Jeez. Go ahead.
Yeah. I thought it would, the story was muddled and unclear, not particularly interesting, didn't make a whole bunch of sense. I felt like something was wrong on a couple of different points. Johnny Depp, Ezra Miller. Well, maybe not so much Ezra Miller, but definitely Johnny Depp. it was, and then the special effects were not very good. I didn't like the way the creatures looked, and that's kind of, you know, the whole basis of the damn movie is the Fantastic Beasts, and they looked ridiculous.
Okay.
So, Fantastic Beasts is number five, and that came out November 18. I hope they can do better with the sequels.
Yeah.
Because, of course, I will be going to see them, but this was not good to me.
Wow. Okay. Fantastic Beasts. So, I'm interested to see what the rest of your list looks like. Because, I mean, well, like we said before, there were many, many, many to pick.
There were a lot.
That bothered you that much, I guess. You, all those points you made, I guess. Okay, Fantastic Beasts. All right. My number four was, and now I'm looking at my list here and I'm saying, okay, well, why did I put that? Well, because The Fifth Wave. This was the first thing last year. I think this was our first. I'm not sure. It was January 23rd. Yeah. It came out January 23. And even though I didn't go into this thinking this was going to be the next, I don't know what you want to call it, next hot thing. I didn't have expectations going in. But I still, I had to put it on the list because I'm tired of seeing these desperate attempts at another Hunger Games or another Harry Potter or another.
Yeah.
I'm tired because you know, just because you have a teenage protagonist and you throw them into some dystopian or magical setting doesn't automatically mean that it's going to be good.
Right.
Or even automatically mean that it should be even made into a movie. You know? Mm-hmm. I just think that... So this is why I made it on my list. This was more like me saying, I'm tired. I don't... Let's stop mining the YA dystopian books for movies.
Yeah.
Let's just take a break for a little bit. How about that? Let's breathe for the next 5 or 10 years, and then maybe, you know, but
maybe, yeah,
maybe. But like right now, like I'm done with them and their YA and the teenagers and their dystopia. This was no good.
Yeah, no, it was not.
Uninteresting, cliche. I felt no sense of tension or remorse or anything. I didn't care. But this was number four on my list. What was your number four, Elise?
Again, this might come as a surprise, but number four for me was Batman v Superman.
You got to get out of here. I'm ending the show right now. Let's end it. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back. What are you talking about?
See, now I have to, instead of talking about why it was so bad, which I'm sure everyone can agree, I'm going to say why this was not higher up. And I'll say this. I rewatched this. And the second viewing.
Don't you do it.
I have to explain.
Okay. But I'm my putting my fingers in my ears.
On the second viewing, I was again reminded how much I liked Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman and how I liked her, how they used her character. I liked Jesse Eisenberg. I know a lot of people didn't. They thought he was kind of ridiculous and over the top. And there were a couple of scenes where it was like, you could probably dial that back by about, you know, 3 or 4 notches. But I liked him overall. I liked Jesse Eisenberg. I thought he seemed like a spoiled millennial, even the way they had him dressed. And I thought that worked. And then there were things about the story that I was kind of like, okay, I see where they were going. I think maybe, and this has to do with, I forget the man's name. You're just not going to comment. You're not even a uh-huh. Okay.
Listen, you have your opinion. I think you're high on crack cocaine.
Again, and I'll also say I really like Henry Cavill as Superman. I think that the direction that they're moving with Superman is maybe problematic, but his portrayal of this Superman I think is great. And I like Zack Snyder. I liked 300, I liked Watchmen, I even liked parts of Sucker Punch. So there were even parts of this that I was like, oh, okay, you know, I like Zack Snyder. And then the problem is it was just like, it was a mess. Like, it should have been cut way down. Like, so many things just should have been cut out. And of course, you know, Ben Affleck, who was not as terrible as I thought, was still terrible. So that's why I gave it a number 4, because I was like, okay, I see what they're trying to do. I understand what they were trying to do with the script.
No, I don't see what they were trying to do. I feel like everybody was drinking the pot and shooting up the crack going in to making the film, and it was just nobody paid any attention to the story. It felt like there were 25,000 different rewrites, and nobody came together to be like, okay, what's the story we're trying to tell here? No one stood out as good in this film. When I say no one, I mean no one. No one was good. No one was good. When you say that you like Henry Cavill's portrayal of Superman, oh, so you mean you like a Superman who doesn't care about human beings, doesn't want to save us, and only cares about rat-faced people who he's sleeping with? Oh, okay.
Rat-faced people.
Yes, then I can understand why you would like his portrayal of Superman. No, no, and everything that you said. No, no. I'm moving on. All right. Where are we? Are we at number 4?
Oh, no, you did your 4, right? Yeah, you did 4. Yeah, 3. Okay.
My number 3 is Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay.
My number 3 is Suicide Squad. And this, it was really hard for me because I had a 3 and a 2. I kept going back and forth. You know, I was like, well, which one? And there's a reason. When I get to 2, I'll explain why 1 I thought deserved to be higher on the crap list. It was very close. The Suicide Squad was a bit of a mess. It was a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
It was a mess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For all the reasons that films that we talked about introducing new characters and how the characters interact, all the reasons that that was good, this failed on. You know, there was no character development. They just threw people in a big old pot, and we're supposed to feel attention. We're supposed to feel, you know, that these people respect and love each other and are friends. That never happened.
Yeah.
That was never established. Never.
Nope.
the effects were a mess. They went to them really quick. Like, the first battle was just a mess. you don't introduce characters. We don't know anything. We don't know. You throw them in. It was just a mess. And it ended a mess. You know, with the evil person doing a weird, you know, spastic belly dance at the end. It was a mess.
Yeah.
It only had one strength. This is why it was number three and not number two, and that was casting what's her name as Harley Quinn. I actually enjoyed her as that character. Like, she fully embodied that character. It's just too bad that she was in a mess. Just a big old mess. They would have done better to just have a Harley Quinn movie, maybe. You know, spend some time on Harley Quinn. Why did she become Harley Quinn? Why in the hell and how in the hell would she fall in love with a character like the Joker? Jared Leto, I mean, what the hell? Like, they would have been better to maybe start there. But this was just a mess.
So messy.
So messy.
Yeah.
What was your number three?
My number three was Suicide Squad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For all the reasons you said, it was like, it was not a very good, what do you call those, like, ensemble movie? Like, they didn't introduce characters in an interesting way. The only reason this wasn't the worst of the worst is the cast. I really liked Jared Leto as the Joker, and I wasn't expecting to. I was like, you know what? They need to just retire the Joker after Heath Ledger. He just doesn't need to be on the big screen anymore, or at least wait like 40 years until everyone
40 years.
Who lived through Heath Ledger's Joker
time
is
to die.
Like in a retirement home.
Or in a retirement home. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Just don't even do it. And I liked him. I really enjoyed him.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just like a big bloated mess of nonsense.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. My number two was Passengers, which recently came out, number 21. And the reason it's on my list this high, aside from being still really fresh in my memory, this was one that I actually was looking forward to. And even though I was nervous after subsequent trailers, I was still looking forward to it. And so it's high on my list because it was a letdown. a pretty big letdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about characters, there were no characters. There were no characters.
No.
Character was the spaceship. And you can't connect with a spaceship. You know what I mean? So that was a really, really, really big problem. Really big problem. It felt very, very amateurish. I mean, you know, to have these big names in it and all of these, obviously they spent a lot of money on the effects, but it was like nobody took the time to actually write something. I don't know how else to say it. And so for me, that's why it's high on this list. I mean, yes, there were things like, you know, Warcraft that came out this year.
Right.
But was anybody expecting Warcraft to be Oscar nominated? No, nobody was. You know, I personally went because of Ragnar
Lothbrok. Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Like Assassin's Creed. Like, it was exactly what you thought it was going to be. So it's like, all right, it wasn't great, but, you know.
That's what we expect. That's what we expect. You know, Ragnar was great. But so that's why Passengers is on here and not Warcraft, right? I'm just saying. And the reason why Passengers inched out Suicide Squad is to be number two rather than number three is because there were no characters. At least Suicide Squad, you had your Harley Quinn and you had your Joker. But this had no one. It had people that you wanted, you thought you were going to root for, you thought you were going to love, but alas, no. The big joke. Joke's on us. Joke's on us. So that's why that was number two. What was your number two?
My number two, which is, it's probably, in light of what you just said, it probably, you know, it's exactly the opposite of what you just said, was The Fifth Wave. And while I wasn't expecting much of it, I just was kind of like, you know what? This is doo-doo. You know what? Like, just completely uninspired, filmmaking, uninspired story, just like a big cash grab. So forgettable. Like, I was just like, name me somebody else who was in that movie. Name me, describe a character. You don't even have to give me the character's name. Just describe them, something about them. You know? That maybe I could say, oh, but nothing. It was just, it was terrible and kind of like the worst of what's happening right now in terms of like this glut of sci-fi fantasy, just like this cash grab. What can we, you know, what can we churn out? So that's why that was my number two.
Okay. 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 So number ones, this is, I cannot imagine what kind of crack. You've already revealed that you're smoking the pot. You're smoking the pot, shooting up the meth, you're drinking, you're taking shots, you're out of your mind. You've already revealed that. I have no idea who's going to be number one. My number one, because I'm sober and in my right mind, and I don't like the crack cocaine, was Batman v Superman. Obviously. Yes. When you're talking about cash grabs, this was the biggest cash grab of the century. Never mind the year. I am offended. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Offended. That I went and I spent my money on that piece of something that shall remain. I'm offended that people got paid. Okay?
Oh, boy.
I feel like
they
purposely did things to piss off fans. And they knew, they went into it knowing that it was going to make money because they know these are beloved characters that geeks, you know, we want to get behind. And we've been wanting to see, you know, Batman v Superman. And they didn't even try. That's what it felt like to me. Like, they just went in there and they said, we're going to cast Ben Affleck and we're going to make cute guns and we're going to Henry Cavill, his character hasn't even been established yet, but so what? We're going to just cram him in there with Ben Affleck and then we're going to cram in Wonder Woman, the hands down most known female comic book hero ever. She's the most popular one. We're not going to give her own film. We're going to cram her in with Ben Affleck as Batman. And we're going to have him shooting guns when we know Batman doesn't shoot guns. And we're going to have Henry Cavill. He doesn't care about you. Superman doesn't care about you. Superman only cares about his girlfriend. To hell with you and your populace. Who cares? That's what they did. And they knew that they were going to make $1 trillion because we're all suckers. I'll tell you what, I'm getting off that train. I'm getting off that train. Next year, I don't care what they put out. I'm not going opening weekend. I'm going to wait till it's on Netflix. Because if they do another, well, it's already too late. The train has already left the building. They've already said that we don't care about developing our characters. We don't care about that. All we care about is making money. That's what this felt like. When you talk about a cash grab, Batman v Superman was the biggest cash grab of the entire year. Not just this year, but the century. Because they don't care. They don't care. There's no character development, and they don't care. There's no plans to change. Because, again, like I said, the train has left the building. You know, they've already crammed Wonder Woman in there. They didn't give Superman time to develop and breathe. You know, they cast Ben Affleck, who, you know, he might, like you said before, he might not have been as bad as we were all afraid he was going to be, but that's not saying much, because he wasn't great.
Still bad.
Still bad. And when they showed the trailer for the Justice League, the clips that they showed, if trailers are supposed to be like the best of what your movie is, it's going to be even worse. Because those clips that they showed for the Justice League, are you kidding me? They're still going to do this. He's still going to, like, just cash grab. Cash grab, awful, awful, awful. There was nothing that was worse this year than Batman v Superman. Nothing. Now I'm going to hear what you thought was worse than Batman v Superman.
Passengers was terrible. At least it was boring. That was my biggest thing. At least Batman v Superman, I was like, okay, there's an action sequence. There's a little bit of music that's exciting. I could rewatch that scene. Passengers was a big waste of time. Huge waste of time. Didn't care about characters at all. Didn't like them. I didn't even like them. At least I liked Superman. I liked Wonder Woman. You know? For me, Passengers was a giant waste of time. And we could go, I mean, we could have three more shows debating the merits of Batman v Superman.
We could break it down about how bad it was. We could break it all the way down. I mean, Passengers was bad, but you're talking about characters, icons. You're talking about icons, okay? You're talking about icons versus some random people that we have no vested interest in, okay, as geeks or whatever. My problem, Batman v Superman, is the fact that you have these icons, all right, and you have this rich, you know, history and things to draw from, and really, I feel like all the time in the world to develop them. So that we could really get behind them and really love them. And it just feels to me like that's not being done. Like, it almost feels like the opposite is being done. And at this point, because they know that people, you know, opening weekend, they know they're going to make their money. They knew they were going to make their money with Batman v Superman. Mm-hmm. As soon as the internet blew up over Ben Affleck being cast, like, well, we got our money right now. They probably, I wouldn't be surprised if they were in the middle of, like, trying to fix things or whatever. And as soon as the internet blew up over Ben Affleck, they were like, oh, wrap it up. Just print, go to print. It doesn't matter. Everybody is going to see this thing because we want to see how bad Ben Affleck is. We want to see, they knew. That's what it feels like to me. That's why it's so much more offensive to me than something like a Passengers, because you've got this vested interest, you know, as a geek, you got this vested interest in these characters and these places and these things, and it doesn't even feel like they're purposely trying to aggravate us. Purposely. And we know that it can be done. We know that it can be done well based on what's happened with the Captain America films, you know, the Avengers. We know that it can be done well. It's not impossible. It may be hard, but that's what you're getting paid for, okay? That's what you're getting paid millions of dollars. Spend some time on some character development. Passengers is not as offensive.
I actually feel like there were too many hands in the pot, and they actually spent too much time. It felt bloated to me. It's 2.5 hours long. It was like a lot of this could have been distilled down and it would have been more powerful. I don't feel like they like rushed. Okay. Like from a marketing standpoint, they introduced things too quickly. Like we probably shouldn't have jumped to, you know, Batman, a new Batman versus a relatively new Superman, because mm-hmm. who cares? So,
right.
like, from a marketing standpoint, that was rushed. But I felt like the story was bloated. Like, it really could have been stripped down. And then, this is a fundamental, it started with Man of Steel. This is a new Superman. This is not Christopher Reeve.
Right.
Like, I don't know that he hates humanity. I would say he's disillusioned. He's disillusioned with humanity. And so that's mm-hmm. affecting the decisions that he makes. You know, there were parts of Man of Steel that I really liked. And again, I like Henry Cavill. I think he, you know, was a much stronger Superman than Brandon. Oh, yeah. He's beautiful.
That's why you like him.
That's not the only reason. That's not the only reason. You know, I think he's got like this vulnerability that I like, that I see. And, you know, really, Christopher Nolan is to blame for all of this. Like, he was the one that decided, I'm going to turn Batman into Hamlet. And so now it's like we're, you know, DC is trying to make every movie like that. And maybe Superman shouldn't be that dark. I don't know. But I am like, okay, like I'll get on board with Superman. I'll be on board with the way that he is now.
Oh.
But again, this could be three more shows.
This could be three more shows. You know, yeah, it could be three more shows. I'll tell you this. I will not. I'm standing by what I'm saying. I will not go to see any more of that line of films opening weekend. They're not. I'm not going to be suckered. I'm done. I'm out. Because, you know, the only way I know my $20 in the pot of $3 trillion is not going to make much of a difference. But I don't feel good about. Yeah, I'm complaining about the rush to, you know, sort of, you know, catch up with Marvel, you know, complain about it, still contribute, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
To the rushing. You know, I'm not going to be suckered anymore. I'm taking a stand. My $20 will not be present opening weekend for that crap. It just won't. Mm. I'm making a stand.
Let me talk.
Character-driven... I want to develop some characters. I'm not going to Justice League. I'm not going to any of those.
Justice League.
Not opening weekend. Opening weekend. Based on what I've seen. Because they're just cramming. They don't know how to... everything you talked about, like the bloat and just rushing, cash grab. Not doing it.
Mm.
Now, if they put out another singular... Superman?
Yes, I'd like to see another Superman.
Convinced to see that. But the rest of this cash grab, let's throw everybody in and not make any effort to develop. I'm out. I'm done.
Mm.
Okay. That being said, it's the end of our show. It's the end of our show. I feel like I've run a marathon. We're going to be back. Very soon. We're actually going to be back January 1st, New Year's Day. We're going to be looking at 2017, doing a countdown of what we're going to spend our money on.
Yes.
Over the weekend. So tune in then. We'll be back at the same time, 3 p.m. You can catch us. You can email us, wackygeekmovietalk@gmail.com. We're on Twitter. What is our Twitter handle?
It is BLK Geek Movie TLK.
And we're also on Facebook, Black Geek Movie Talk. So if you want to comment, yell, agree, do it all via there, and we will. So till Sunday, January 1st, Happy New Year, everyone. Bye-bye.
Happy New Year.